Okay, the time now is 7:45 and we'll reconvene the city council meeting. Item number 9, new business. Number 1, discuss and consider approving a request for preliminary plat approval for Sapia Plains Phase 3 on property described as approximately 1.376 acres of land being part of HB Littlefield Survey Abstract Number 55, more or less, described in a record document number 2019-58768 in the Real Property Records of Bell County, Texas, generally located at 1808 Ponca Trace, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. The applicant is here before you tonight to request preliminary plat approval for approximately 1.376 acres of vacant land along Ponca Trace. This property is the phase 3 of the Sapia Plains development, in which we saw a concept plan go before the Planning and Zoning Commission on September 25th, 2019, and it was approved by the City Council on October 22nd, 2019. So as you can see in this aerial photo, the property in question is a vacant tract along a road that is essentially an undeveloped right-of-way in the city of Harker Heights. So the applicant, as part of the phased development of his project, is building the Ponca Trace Road to terminate in a cul-de-sac at the northern boundary of his property. The next slide will show you a view of, I believe it's going to be a Ponca Trace. As you can see from the north end where they're constructing the cul-de-sac, they're already working on improvements to the road prior to the approval of this preliminary plat. The next slide is going to show you the view look, the next slide is going to show you the actual preliminary plat. If we advance one more time, it'll zoom into the area in question. And as you can see, the applicant is proposing a 6-lot subdivision. This current property is zoned RMU, and the applicant is intending to build duplexes, which are allowed by right in the RMU zoning district. So what you're seeing are the lot sizes and setbacks for a duplex subdivision. And as I indicated before, the applicant is building a cul-de-sac at the termination of this road, and it's an offset cul-de-sac. In other words, the applicant doesn't own the other side of the right-of-way, so it's almost like a reverse P shape, but it does meet the internal radius required by the fire department in order to qualify as a cul-de-sac and meet the fire code and the subdivision code. As you can see also from this preliminary plat, there is a sidewalk that is being constructed along their side of the road under their development. That sidewalk will tie into the Emma Naylor Court, which is a street that is part of phase 2 of this development. The sidewalk along Emma Naylor Court will go through an easement and connect directly to Warrior's Path. So this development is offering access to Warrior's Path through that existing, or through the sidewalk that will be constructed. That being said, this was held at a hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission on September 30th, 2020, in which the Planning and Zoning Commission voted 6-0 to approve this preliminary plat. It's therefore come before you tonight for approval. The comments provided by staff have been addressed, and the submitted preliminary plat meets the standards and ordinances of the city of Harker Heights, and therefore staff does recommend approval following the P&Z's approval as well. That being said, the representative of the applicant is here to answer any questions, and I'd be certainly happy to answer any questions as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Molise. Any questions from the council for Mr. Molise? Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Joseph, the water line under construction, is that an 8-inch line, or is that, what is that going in there?
I believe that is a 6-inch water line.
So that's going to service that fire hydrant there?
Yes.
And that's adequate for the fire department there with that line?
Okay. I believe so, because it's a looped system. There's also the water line going through Emma Naylor Court. And so when they loop like that, they're allowed to use a 6-inch line.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the council? This is the mayor. I've got one question. The way the Ponca is, the way you got the loop there at the end, okay, the lollipop or whatever you want to call it.
Yes, sir.
So the way Ponca is going to set up there, so if the land toward Pontotoc, so if that ever develops, would we consider having that being through, or would we probably have to have another lollipop on the other side?
Gary, if you could back up a couple of slides to the aerial shot. Okay. Yeah. So what you were talking about, Mr. Mayor, is that Ponca does extend all the way to Pontotoc. And so it's my understanding that the applicant tried to get with the adjacent property owners to place the line all the way, the street all the way through, and couldn't get their financial cooperation, so he's terminating it there. So were there to be future development on Ponca Trace north of that location, they would be required to provide access to a public right-of-way. Now, we would prefer that they not terminate into another lollipop, that it be turned into a through street. But that's something that we would have to look at that point in time. But I think that because that's an existing right-of-way and part of our thoroughfare plan, that we could require that it connect to Pontotoc, I mean to the existing, the soon-to-be existing Ponca.
Right. Okay. Good. I was just thinking further on down the line. When I was out there, I was very impressed with the work they've done out there. It's really really clean and really really picked up. So, any other questions from the council? I know it's not a public hearing, but Mr. Mitchell, do you have anything to add on this? Okay, thank you. Okay, it's being new business. Nobody, no one else needs to speak here. And do I have a motion? Councilmember Nicholas.
Thank you, Mayor. Motion to approve a request for preliminary plat approval for Sapaya Plains Phase 3 on property described as approximately 1.376 acres of land, being part of HB Littlefield Survey, abstract number 55, more or less, described in a record document number 2019-58768 in the real property records of Bell County, Texas, generally located at 1808 Ponca Trace, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Thank you, Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to second that motion, Mayor.
Okay, good. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder has an excused absence. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion second passes unanimously 4-0. Next item under new business, number two, discuss and consider approving a request by Remco Properties LLC on a concept plan for a duplex development on property described as 6.917 acres of land, more or less. Part of the Cullender Keel Survey, abstract number 991, and the J. Tomlinson Survey, abstract number 813, generally located within the 700 block of South Amy Lane, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. As you can see from this aerial photo, this is a rather unique piece of property that is before you tonight, and so there will be a waiver request within this concept plan that I'll discuss with you as we move forward. But keep in mind, it is because of the unique shape of this lot that the applicant is requesting the waiver. And so to back it up a little bit, Remco Properties LLC is submitting an application for concept plan approval for approximately 6.9 acres of land that's currently zoned R2 with the intent of developing a duplex subdivision of 21 duplex lots, which would be 42 units. The plan proposes a 5-foot sidewalk on either side of the proposed public street to serve all residents within the development and connect to the existing sidewalk on Amy Lane. So the next slide is going to show you a view from the driveway of the apartment complex immediately adjacent to the north. As you can see, it's undeveloped property that's bordered by trees, and then you've got some developed properties on the opposite sides of those trees. But as it is immediately adjacent to an apartment complex to the north that has a fire lane that travels from east to west. Next slide shows you the concept plan, and as you can see, it's kind of another reverse P-shaped design where it's got one entrance on Amy Lane, that forms a circle and circles back to Amy Lane. If you hit the next slide, I think it'll zoom in a little closer. And so we'll get into the meat of the issue. In our code of ordinances, in two different places in the code, there are requirements for the number of entrances that you can have in a development based on the number of units in the development. In the fire code, it says that you must have more than one entrance to a subdivision if you have more than 30 single or two-family residences. So the fire code treats a duplex the same as a single-family residence in terms of that. So as this subdivision is laid out, it meets the requirements of the fire code. However, in the subdivision code, we have a requirement that if you have more than 30 dwelling units, not buildings, 30 dwelling units, that you have to have more than one entrance. So the applicant is proposing 21 duplexes, which is 42 dwelling units, so it does not meet the design requirements of the subdivision code. However, in that subdivision code, section 154.37, which defines the requirements for entrances to subdivisions, it gives the ability for a waiver for a single point of access for a subdivision if the single point has no connecting streets internally, or if it terminates in a permanent cul-de-sac, or if it's got less than 30 dwelling units. In addition, a single point of access situation presented by streets that end in a, a single point of access may be dictated by property configuration, safety, or access management restrictions. In this case, the property owner only has that contact point to Amy Lane that I showed you in that previous aerial photograph. They only have that neck of which to connect to Amy Lane. And so they're seeking a waiver based on the fact that, one, there was the lot configuration only gives them the one access point, and two, there are no cross-connecting streets within there. While it doesn't terminate in a cul-de-sac, it does terminate upon itself, and it doesn't have any cross streets internally. Additionally, the applicant is proposing some conditions to try to mitigate some safety concerns regarding having only one entrance. The first of which is that in a normal subdivision, we require an extra wide right-of-way at the entrance to a subdivision for the first 100 feet. We require that it be 42 feet wide so that you can accommodate a turn lane, so that when there is stacking with people trying to leave the subdivision, there'll be a left-hand turn lane and then a right-hand turn lane and then an inbound lane for the first 100 feet. The applicant is proposing that that 100 feet distance be extended to 200 feet, therefore doubling the potential stacking, and they've widened it to 48 feet instead of 42, so giving a little bit more wiggle room for lane widths. Additionally, the applicant has worked out an agreement with the property owner to the north, in which case at the time of platting, because remember this is just the concept plan, at the time of platting, they will be granted an access easement through that existing fire lane for that apartment complex to the north. It was in that photograph we saw from the street. And so in this map, you can kind of see where they're going to have a gated entrance to a 24-foot passage easement to the north, which will terminate in Amy Lane through the driveway of the apartment complex. So it'll act as an emergency access in case the primary access is blocked off. So this issue was discussed with the fire department, with the fire chief and the fire marshal, and they were in agreement that that would be an acceptable solution to as an alternative for the one entry to the subdivision. Furthermore, the applicant has added extra fire hydrants within the subdivision. Normally, there would probably be just one required towards the entrance and then another one in the, if you're looking at that P, on the bottom, which would be the south western portion of it, but they also added an additional fire hydrant on the southeastern portion. As mentioned before, there are sidewalks along the entries. And finally, as another condition of safety, the applicant is increasing the number of street lights. They're doubling the requirement so that the subdivision is very well lit. So again, these were all concessions that the applicant was willing to grant to try to mitigate the dangers of having just one entry into the subdivision. So with all of those in mind, staff did recommend approval. They did meet all the requirements of the concept plan minus the obviously the one entrance to the subdivision. So if the waiver was granted, then they would meet the requirements within the code of ordinances and meet to the satisfaction of the fire department's requirements for an additional access to the property. So that being said, on September 30th, 2020, the Planning and Zoning Commission did vote 5-1 to recommend approval, or to actually approve, I'm sorry, it's a concept plan. They did approve the concept plan with a 5-1 vote, and because the applicant did meet all of staff's requirements, granted that the waiver would be approved by council, they did meet the requirements, so staff also recommends approval of this concept plan. That concludes my presentation. The applicant is here to answer any questions, and I'd certainly be happy to answer any as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Nicholas.
Joseph, I have a question. We're talking about 21 duplex lots, but I only see 20 duplexes. Where's the 21st?
You know, I did this in the P&Z too. The original plan was 21, and they reduced it to 20.
Okay, thank you.
So
I looked.
No, it's not you, it's me. I can't okay. count, apparently. It's pretty late at night. But I did the exact same thing at the P&Z, so it just got stuck in my brain. It is 20 duplexes and 40 okay. units.
Okay. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Yeah, I also did the math there, and I was going to ask that question, but you beat me there. One of the commissioners voted against this. Did he articulate why, or he or she articulate why?
I want to say that in discussion following the meeting, if you could back up, Gary, to the aerial map, which should be the first photo. As you can see, there are also private roads to the south that connect. These are driveway entrances to manufactured home parks along, I believe that's not Dove, it may be Bob White. And so their concern was that the emergency entrance being so close to the primary entrance, you know, if there was a really, really bad wreck on Amy Lane, they would still be stuck with an access issue, whereas they might have been able to use one of these other private drives as the emergency access. And the issue with that is that those are all owned by different individuals, whereas the property owner that sold this property to the applicant owns the apartment complex. So it was easier to negotiate that easement than it would have been to negotiate one from the south.
All right.
And so we feel that was their concern.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Okay, hearing none. It's new business. Do you have a motion? Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to make a motion, please, Mayor, to approve a request by Remco Properties, LLC, on a concept plan for a duplex development on property described as a 6.917 acres of land, more or less, part of the Cullender Keel Survey, abstract number 991, and the J. Tomlinson Survey, abstract number 813, generally located within the 700 block of South Amy Lane. Just add the condition.
Yes, Harker Heights.
Sorry, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
And then go ahead and read the other part.
Condition one, a waiver is granted to allow a single access and secondary emergency access as depicted.
Okay, thank you. And do I have a second? Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I'll second.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
It's Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four, has an excused absence. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion and the second passes unanimously, 4-0. Okay, item number three, under new business, discuss and consider approving a resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, awarding a contract for the Lynn Drive Asbestos Abatement Project in the amount of $34,950 to Division 7 Waterproofing, LLC, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Gary, did I have a slide for that, or is that it? Okay, I apologize for that. I did have a map that is in your packet that shows the project boundaries, and you'll have to forgive me if I found a little bit, jo- If I sound a little bit jovial, but it's late at night, and this is something that's been long in the making. As you may or may not remember, 21 units of the Lynn Drive complex were ordered to be demolished by the Building and Standards Commission on August 29th, 2012, 8 years ago. The applicant appealed that decision all the way through to essentially the state Supreme Court, and at each point, the city won the court cases. So we now have reached the point where we're actually allowed to enforce the order of the Building Standards Commission. So be that as it may, we are now beginning that process, and the first step is the abatement of the asbestos that was discovered as part of the whole Building and Standards Commission proceedings back in 2012. So staff began the bidding process with the city advertising for bids for the Lynn Drive Asbestos Abatement Project on September 6, 2020, and then again on September 13, 2020. We also engaged Assesis Environmental Partners Corporation, which is an asbestos abatement project management company, to be able to handle all of the requirements as far as reporting to the state and managing the day-to-day operations of the project. And so they helped us develop bid specifications that we distributed to up to 15 known companies that were asbestos remediation companies. Of those 15, we had all of them show up to mandatory pre-bid job walkthrough on site on September 15, 2020, where they walked through all of the buildings to be abated. And on September 22nd, 2020, at 2 p.m., we opened the sealed bids for the project. We received 7 bids that met all of our specifications, and they're shown on the table on page 1 of the staff report. Of those bids, Division 7 Waterproofing LLC out of Waco, Texas, had a bid total of $34,950, which was the low bidder in the project. And so based on the low bid of the project and the recommendation of Assesis, who's worked with this particular contractor on other asbestos remediation projects, staff recommends selection of Division 7 Waterproofing LLC, and has provided a resolution that we recommend approval for awarding a contract for the Lynn Drive Asbestos Abatement Project in the amount of $34,950 to Division 7 Waterproofing LLC. That concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you. Okay,
thank you. Councilmember Nicholas.
Thank you, Mayor. Joseph, when would they be able to begin, roughly?
Roughly, we're projecting about a two-week start date after today. There's actually I believe it's a 15-day reporting period to CEQ. I almost called it TABC, sorry. TCEQ requires that we give them 15 days notice before we begin any project. So at the very least, what will more than likely happen is tomorrow, Assesis will give that notice to TCEQ, and at that point, we will finalize our contract with Division 7 Waterproofing and hopefully get them going as soon as possible, but no sooner than 15 days.
And then how long do you think it will take for them to do the project?
During the bidding process, that was one of the questions that we asked, and that was a factor in our decision making, and they're projecting 20 days.
Oh. For all the buildings?
Well, remember, this is just the asbestos remediation, so they're going to go through, pull the asbestos. We have another simultaneous bid opportunity for the demolition side of that. And in fact, the site walkthrough for that will be tomorrow morning. So we're hoping that there will be some overlap, because obviously as they start remediating, the demolition can go behind them and keep going. But again, we're looking at no sooner than about 15 to 20 days before they start, and then probably another 15 to 20 days before the demolition part can begin.
After waiting this long, that's pretty fast.
Yes, ma'am. We're very excited about that. We are hoping to be done by the end of the year. But again, we'll start getting constrained by weather and the holidays and so forth. But we are hoping to start at the beginning of November.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Joseph, I'm happy to see the bid is so low, but I'm just, you know, curious as to why it was almost double the difference as far as the price there. And I know you alluded to that you're confident in their ability to do it, but can you say why they're so low?
I don't want to say absolutely, I keep using that term a lot, but I think I can. And the reason why is because this company bid with the understanding that they would have a chance to bid on the demolition portion as well, and that this bid would be awarded before the demolition bid was awarded. Okay. So I think that they bid very low, hoping that they were going to also be the low bidder on the demolition.
Okay. And then this is a firm bid where it's not to exceed?
That's the way it's written now, yes. Now, okay. Obviously, there would probably be potential for...
change proposals?
Or? Yes, change orders and so forth. But the okay. way it's written is not to exceed.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Mayor Smith, I got a question. You know, on your map, of your overhead map on that, you know, shows the ones in red that were going to be units to have the asbestos abatement. What are they going to have to do? Are they going to have to do, are these things that are contained when they do that so that the properties that are adjacent, that kind of in between here, I assume that those are habitable and there are people living in them now?
That is not correct, sir. Okay. I think at this time there's only one legally habitable location, and it's the one all the way on the far north. I believe it's 450
okay.
the unit. But yes, there are containment requirements dictated by the state, and that was one of the bid items on the list, was fencing to secure each site. And we asked them to submit that as a separate bid item in case we determined it would be cheaper for us to do the fencing. And as you saw in the bid tab, it was actually fairly cost effective for them to do the fencing for their project. So yes, each site will be contained, and I'm assuming it'll be based on how many, you know, whatever they feel they can do. If they can get three in one fenced in contained area, then they'll do it, and then they'll just keep moving on down the way.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. That question raised another issue there. I was wondering, this picture was taken August 20th, 2020, and you said there's only one that's legally habitable, but I see in front of those red blocks, I see three different vehicles in front of those. Are there some that are habited that are not supposed to be habited, or what's going on there?
Okay, so the date on this map is the date that the map was made. The aerial photograph was probably taken sometime in 2019.
Okay. All right, that answers that then.
Right, and so some of these vehicles, at the time, those units were occupied.
Right.
So let me back up a little bit. So there were 21 units in the first go-round of Lynn Drive that were ordered by the Building Standards Commission to be demolished. In 2019, we had a second Building and Standards Commission hearing where they ordered another 10 units to be demolished. The property owner is appealing that decision as well, so we'll have to go through that process. And that left five units that have not gone to the Building Standards Commission. At the time of that hearing in February of 2019, I think four of those five were occupied, and the fifth one had been previously occupied, so we didn't go back through it on that second go-around. So there is conceivably going to be a third go to the Building Standards Commission with the remaining units.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Molise? Okay, hearing none, it's new business to have a motion. Councilmember Nicholas.
I make a motion to approve a resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, awarding a contract for the Lynn Drive Asbestos Abatement Project in the amount of $34,950 to Division 7 Waterproofing LLC.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember McCann.
This is Councilmember McCann, place one. I'd like to second that emotion, please.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four, has an excused absence. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion and the second pass unanimously, 4-0. Item number four under new business, discuss and consider approving a resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, approving a negotiated settlement between the Atmos City Steering Committee, ACSC, and Atmos Energy Corp, Midtex Division, regarding the company's 2020 rate review mechanism filing, declaring existing rates to be unreasonable, adopting tariffs that reflect rate adjustments consistent with the negotiated settlement, finding the rates to be set by the attached settlement tariffs to be just and reasonable and in the public interest, approving an attached exhibit establishing a benchmark for pensions and retiree medical benefits, approving an attached exhibit regarding amortization of regulatory liability, requiring the company to reimburse ACSC's reasonable rate-making expenses, determining that this resolution was passed in accordance with the requirements of the Texas Open Meetings Act, adopting a savings clause, declaring an effective date, and requiring delivery of this resolution to the company and the ACSC's legal counsel, and take the appropriate action. Finance Director.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Aisha Leleiee, Finance Director. The City of Harker Heights is a member of the Atmos in, of the Atmos Cities Steering Committee, or ACSC, along with 171 other Mid-Texas cities that are served by Atmos Energy Corporation Mid-Texas Vision. Excuse me. In 2007, ACSC and Atmos Mid-Tex settled a rate application filed by the by Atmos pursuant to Section 104.301 of the Texas Utilities Code, which provided for an interim rate adjustment commonly referred to as the Gas Reliability Infrastructure Program, or GRIP filing. That settlement created a substitute rate review process, now referred to as a rate review mechanism, or RRM. Since 2007, there have been several modifications to the original RRM tariff. The most recent one was adopted by ACSC members in 2018 and was adopted by the City of Harker Heights on March 15, 2018. On or about March 31, 2020, Atmos filed a rate request pursuant to the RRM tariff that was created back in 2007. In this filing, Atmos claimed to have a cost of service in the year ending December 31st, 2019 that entitled it to $141.2 million of additional system-wide revenues. When the standard set forth in ACSC's RRM tariff was applied, it required Atmos to reduce its request to $136.3 million. ACSC's consultants concluded that system-wide deficiency under the RRM regime should be actually $111.5 million instead of the claimed $136.3 million, and that was a $24.8 million difference. With the ACSC's consultants' report, the executive committee and Atmos Mid-Tex negotiated a settlement where Atmos would receive a $90 million increase from ACSC cities with a December 1st, 2020 effective date. The impact on an average residential rate is an increase of $5.15 on a monthly basis for residential rates. Or 9.9%, and for the average commercial usage, it's going to be about $15.48 or 6.6%. Staff's recommendation is to approve the resolution, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Okay, any questions from the council? Okay, hearing none, it's new business. Thank you. Do I have a motion?
Yes, Mayor. This is Councilwoman Jacqueline Fontaine. I would like to make a motion.
Okay, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I would like to move that we approve the resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, approve the negotiation settlement between the Atmos City Steering Committee, ACSC, and Atmos Energy Corp., Mid-Texas Division, regarding the company's 2020 rate review mechanism filing, declaring existing rates to be unreasonable, adapting tariffs that reflect rate adjustment consistent with the negotiated settlement, finding the rates to be set by the attached settlement tariffs to be just and reasonable and in the public's interest, approving an attached exhibit establishing a benchmark for pensions and retiree medical benefits, approving an attached exhibit regarding amortization of regulatory liability, requiring the company to reimburse ACSC's reasonable rate making expenses, determining that this resolution was passed in accordance with the requirements of the Texas Open Meetings Act, adapting a savings clause, declaring an effective date, and requiring a delivery of these resolutions to the company and ACSC legal counsel.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second? Councilmember Nicholas.
I second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion on the item? I just wonder, can they make these any longer next time?
Don't challenge them, Mayor.
I tell you. Okay. I thought we were done with that. Okay, we've got a motion and a second, and no further discussion, I take it. And I'll go ahead and poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
It's Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four, has an excused absence. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, and the motion passes unanimously 4-0. Next item under new business, number five, discuss and consider approving the authorization of the City of Harker Heights Coronavirus Relief Fund, CRF, Water Payment Assistant Grant Program, and take the appropriate action. Finance Director.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Aisha Lely, EAF, Finance Director. The Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, or CARES Act, established the Coronavirus Relief Fund, or CRF, to make payments to states and local governments for specified uses. The funding amount allotted to the City of Harker Heights is $1,789,370. The 20% initial drawdown of $357,874 was received on September 18th, 2020, which leaves us with $1,431,496 remaining to spend. As discussed by the Assistant City Manager on September 22nd, funds must meet certain parameters to be reimbursed. The first 75% of the funding must be spent on medical expenses, public health expenses, or payroll expenses, and the 25% of the funding must be spent on expenses of actions to facilitate compliance with COVID-19, expenses associated with the provision of economic support, or other COVID-19 related expenses. Staff has developed a funding proposal for water payment assistant for a water payment assistant grant program for $75,000 of the remaining allocation. As of October 5th, 2020, there were past due bill amounts of approximately $71,800 in residential accounts and $2,200 in commercial accounts. We can't determine at this time which of these may or may not be due to economic hardships that the pandemic may have caused, but we did not want to underfund the grant program. We've set the grant program to tentatively start on October 19th and complete on November 6th. In the event that some of the water account holders cannot make a case for being past due because of the pandemic, we're also prepared to begin issuing COVID-19 payment plans. This will allow residents to begin making payments on their bills without accruing late fees, which are $15 each time that they're late, and without having to worry about being disconnected. We'd like to begin disconnecting accounts again, starting in the new year after the holidays, which would be January 4th. And if you would take a look at the last page in this packet at the water bill payment plan, as I was reviewing this, we initially set up the payment plan for COVID-19 before we got word of the grant. And that number two we'll need to take out because, as I discussed in the agenda memo, we want to do the payment plan for those who don't qualify, meaning that they weren't hit with any economic hardship. We have some people who have not been paying their bill, just either they're paying other bills or more towards other bills, or just haven't been paying bills, their water bill. So we want to be able to at least get them on a payment plan to get them caught up, so that way they're not accruing fees and they're not getting disconnected, and that way we can at least get the funds in to the city to get the water bills paid. They're not getting disconnected, they're not accruing additional fees, and we can get them caught up at the same time and still make them happy. And that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Aisha, looking at your form there, are y'all going to be calling to verify that the situation warrants it, or how are you going to determine whether the person is warranted for the grant based on the information that they provide?
So one of the things that they have to include, the last page of the residential application is a verification of employment, which they're going to have their employer fill out. They're also going to have to include pay stubs that would show any difference in their pay. The commercial account holders are going to have to show some kind of documentation of revenue loss, a bank statement or something like that, to show that in our thoughts, commercial account holders should have a separate bank account for their commercial business. So that account should show that they've had some kind of revenue loss, revenue coming in has been less, or expenses coming out have been more than what has been coming in. So they should be able to document some kind of way as to how the pandemic has affected them. We've also have different items in here that ask them to explain in detail how it's affected them.
So you're not going to have to actually call like their employer or anything. It's going to be documents that they provide you.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And one of the things that I also put in here, or that we put in here, is that if it's incomplete, we won't be calling them to get additional information. It'll just automatically be you don't get the grant, but you'll still have the option to get a payment plan.
Okay, any other questions for the finance director?
Yes, Mayor, this is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. My question is, how does our residents know about these grants that are being utilized by the city?
This is Aisha Lele, EAA Finance Director. So one of the things that we're going to do, just like we did with the small business grants, is have this put out on social media and as well as the newspaper. And one of the things that we also have available to us in the utility department is through our water software, it's called Tyler Notify, where we're able to pick any past due account that has a phone number on their account, and we can automatically call them with an automated message. So we plan to do that as well.
Thank you, Alicia.
You're welcome. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Excuse me. Any other questions for the finance director? Okay. Hearing none, do I have a motion? Excuse me. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'd like to make a motion to approve the authorization of the City of Harker Heights Corona Relief Fund, CRF, Water Payment Assistance Grant Program.
Okay, thank you. And Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to second that, please, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the issue? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Mayor Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, Place 1, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, Place 1. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, Place 4, has an excused absence. Jody Nicholas, Place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, Place 5, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 4-0. Item number 6, under new business, discuss and consider approving a request from Yeshua Villa Fuente for a facility rental at the Purser Family Park Pavilion for an event in excess of 10 people on Sunday, October 25th, 2020, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is Jeff Ashe, Parks and Recreation Director. Once again, bringing you fun, socially distanced events to Harker Heights. I'm going to keep using that joke every other week.
You have to email.
In accordance with the governor's directive in July, he issued a proclamation that gave mayors, county judges, and in this case, city council, the opportunity to decide on events that are outdoors and have over 10 people. So in accordance with this directive, Jesus Villafuente is seeking approval for a request to rent the Purser Family Park Pavilion on Sunday, October 25th from 2 to 5 for a group of approximately 20 people. We were not able to get in touch with Ms. Villafuente today, but I will say just a couple things in this event. It is, the attendance is 20, which can be comfortably housed within the Purser Park Pavilion A that they chose. And it is not free and open to the public. Two things to keep in mind, but I can answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, any questions from the council? Okay, hearing none, do I have a motion? Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to make a motion, Mayor, to approve the request from Jesus Villafuente for an outdoor facility rental at the Purser Family Park Pavilion for an event in excess of 10 people on Sunday, October 25th, 2020.
Okay, do I have a second?
Yes, Mayor, this is Jacqueline Soriano-Fontaine, place 3, I would like to second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place 1, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place 1, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano-Fontaine, place 3, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano-Fontaine, place 3, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place 4, has an excused absence. Jody Nicholas, place 5, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place 5, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 4-0. One thing I've noticed, though, the Harker Heights has become a regional park provider. Mm-hmm. Okay, item number 7, discuss and consider approving a request from Shanice Smith for a facility rental at the Carl Levin Park Pavilion and Amphitheater for an event in excess of 10 people on Saturday, October 31st, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Jeff Ashe, Parks and Recreation Director. In accordance with that previous directive, Shanice Smith is seeking approval for a request to rent the Carl Levin Park Pavilion and Amphitheater on Saturday, October 31st from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for a group of approximately 35 people. When we talked to her today, she did reduce that number of attendees because this is a Halloween and wedding celebration. And so when we asked about the likelihood of individuals over the age of 65 attending, the only one that they know of is the bride's grandmother. We did not ask the exact age. We just know it's over 65 in the spirit of politeness. And then asked about the density of the forum and the ability to ensure social distancing. They rented the pavilion and the amphitheater so that they can use tables to spread out 6 feet apart, and they are planning on sitting only immediate family per table together. And they are also giving masks and hand sanitizers to every individual as wedding favors, which I'm sure will be adorable. And I can answer any questions that you have.
Hey, thank you. Any questions for Parks Recreation Fund Master there? Okay, hearing none, do I have a motion? Councilmember McCann.
Since I'm a Halloween birthday baby, I would like to make a motion to approve the request from Shanice Smith for an outdoor facility rental at the Carl Levin Park Pavilion and Amphitheater for an event in excess of 10 people on Saturday, October 31st, 2020.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
Jacqueline Soriano, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four, has an excused absence. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously, 4-0. Item number eight has been pulled. Understand that that's a canceled event. So we'll move on to item number nine. Under new business, discuss and consider approving a request from the City of Harker Heights Activity Center to host an outdoor movie night at the Harker Heights Community Park Softball Complex, an event in excess of 10 people on Friday, October 23rd, 2020, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Jeff Ashay, Parks and Recreation Director. Again, in accordance with that previous directive, the Harker Heights Activity Center is seeking approval for a request to host an outdoor movie night at the Community Park Softball Complex on the night of Friday, October 23rd. And this event will be limited to 100 people. You'll notice in here there's a memo that discusses some of the details of this event. Again, there will be limited to 100 people. We don't know how many people will be over the age of 65 because it's free and open to the public. Staff will provide additional face masks, hand washing stations, and hand sanitizer, and obviously the restrooms will be available for hand washing. Pre-registration will be required, and we will mark the ball field off in sections that are 6 feet apart for social distancing for families to utilize, and we will promote self-screening of attendees prior to the event. And I can answer any other questions that you may have.
Any questions from the council? Okay, hearing none, do I have a motion? Councilmember McCann.
We'll keep the trend going. I'd like to make a motion, please, to approve a request from the City of Harker Heights Activity Center to host an outdoor movie night at the Harker Heights Community Park Softball Complex, an event in excess of 10 people on Friday, October 23rd, 2020.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I would like to second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'll festively say yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
I will also vote yes. This is okay. Jennifer McCann, place one.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine. In lieu of the festivities, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four, is an excused absence. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes 4-0 unanimously. Item number 10, under new business, discuss and consider approving a request from the City of Harker Heights Activity Center to host an outdoor ceremony celebrating Texas Arbor Day at the Carl Levin Park Amphitheater, an event in excess of 10 people on Friday, November the 6th, 2020, and take the appropriate action. Parks and Recreation Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Jeff Shea, Parks and Recreation Director. Again, in accordance with that previous directive, the Activity Center is seeking approval for a request to host an outdoor ceremony that celebrates Texas Arbor Day at the Carl Levin Park Amphitheater on Friday, November 6th. This event will also be limited to 100 people. I gotta say, we are a little bit disappointed to have to limit this event because this is a really special thing for Harker Heights that we were selected as the statewide host of Texas Arbor Day for this year. But some of our staff, the Texas Forest Service, and others that are a part of this have been working really hard to make sure that this event still goes on, at least to the extent that it can. And so the ceremony, again, will be limited to 100 people, free and open to the public, so we don't know how many over 65 will attend. But staff will be able to provide additional face masks, hand washing stations, and sanitizer. We will make sure the seating is 6 feet apart, and there will be a virtual option to view the ceremony available through online live feed. And I can answer any questions that you may have about this event.
Okay, any questions to the Parks and Recreation Director? Okay, hearing none, do I have a motion? Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a request from the City of Harker Heights Activity Center to host an outdoor ceremony celebrating Texas Arbor Day at the Carl Levin Park Amphitheater, an event in excess of 10 people on Friday, November 6th, 2020.
Okay, Councilmember Nicholas.
I second that, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I would just, in addition to your live streaming, I would ask that you just videotape it so you could post it on the city website for those that could view it, because this is a big event. So it's nice to see that we're hosting it for the state. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Okay. Excellent. Anything else? Okay, I'll go ahead and poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
It's Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Fontaine, place three. I vote yes, and congratulations.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four, is absent, excused. Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes 4-0 unanimously. Okay, item number 10, reports from advisory boards and commissions. Okay, see none. Item number 11, items from the council. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Real quickly, there's only three Saturdays left for Farmers Market, or it will culminate on the Halloween. So get out and visit the Farmers Market and take part in some of the great vendors there. Thank you.
Okay, anything else from the council? Okay, thank you for that. Staff reports, receive and discuss the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As your scoutmaster, we'll give you the your Warriors badge later tonight for your activities, so y'all did great. I really appreciate all that y'all have endured tonight, and so I will be very brief. You do have your Fort Hood Fast Facts, and one thing that is not in your city manager's report that I do want to point out, but please look through it, it has a lot of good information, is that you should tune in to Monday Night Football. My understanding is we will have our honor guard, or at least four members of our honor guard, there at Dallas for that game. So,
oh, wow.
Pay attention to that next Monday, and root for the Cowboys and root for our team that'll be there for with our honor guard. So that concludes my presentation, Mayor.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. Any other announcements? Well, Councilmember McCann.
I just heard somebody's having a baby, that's all. I just wanted to say congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look so thin, though.
Not showing yet.
Yeah.
It'll pack on, don't worry.
Well, the mayor has been doing a couple activities, so even though we're COVID-19, but on the 25th, attended the Heart Christ Disabled American Veterans 29 Centennial Proclamation. Good event. We got some good coverage on that. Thanks, Jerry. Folks have made Congressman Buckley's office, and then also Earl Williams provided some good photos on that. Also on the 25th, attended the Arkwright's Police Department swearing-in ceremony. That was a good event, seeing some new young blood coming in there. On the 3rd, I was able to tag along. I don't think I saw you there, but I was at the Farmers Market at Seton Hospital. On the 6th of October, attended our workshop. On the 9th, I had a meeting with the members of Girl Scout Troop 6119. I tell you what, they grilled me really bad, but I survived that one. That was a really fun event. And again, the free cookies for myself and for the staff was a pretty good deal. On the 10th, attended the Harkwright's Chamber Mug Run at Stone Tree Golf Club to support Gina Pence and her gang. It was a good event. And one of the benefits of being there, Lieutenant General J.T. Thompson was there, so it was a good surprise. He's back with us, and he's retiring, and he's enjoying getting that bear off of his back, so that's a good thing. And on the 10th, I was able to see our Mayor Pro Tem, and I tell you what, I think half the vendors there know your name, so that's, you're doing good things as far as representing our city out there. So that's all the mayor's been doing, and again, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
I have one alibi. Early voting started today, as you all know. It was a huge, huge turnout here at our voting site here. So I just encourage everybody to get out and vote and execute your freedoms and liberties of electing our newly officials for our nation and our local municipalities here. Thank you.
Okay.
Try
good.
To send out a text when the line's
good.
Short.
Thank you. Okay. Well, the time being 8:44, we're adjourned.